Let us worship the Lord this evening by singing the hymn 462, the hymn 462. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. The hymn 462 will keep our seats while we sing this opening praise. Let us just bow together in a word of prayer. Let us take time to seek the Lord's face in prayer this evening. Our gracious God and eternal Heavenly Father, we rejoice tonight that we are in thy house and that we are coming before thy throne. We recognize this evening that there is none like unto thee. We thank thee that thou art our Savior and our Redeemer. We thank thee, O God, this evening for thy love, thy grace, thy generosity even towards us. We recognize tonight that faith is the gift of God. And we thank you, Lord, for that precious gift of repentance and of faith that thou didst give to us. We thank thee that thou didst enable us to look away from our sin and look away to Calvary's cross. And we rejoice that our sins, which were many in an instant, were washed away. And we cry to thee, O God, tonight, that thou wouldst come and stand in our very midst. We recognize faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we pray, Lord, that tonight, that if there are those in our gathering not saved, that this night that faith might be born in their hearts. We thank you, Lord, for those who have their trust in thee. And we cry to thee, Lord, that our faith might grow even this evening as well. As we hear the word of God, that it might be indeed strengthened. And we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst join with us in this place tonight. We thank you, Lord, that in a world where there is much confusion and men know not what way to turn, We thank thee that we have thy precious word. We thank thee that thou hast preserved it, thou hast given it to us in our own language. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity in this fashion of reading it even publicly and of setting our hearts upon it. And we ask that as we do so this evening, Lord, that thou would speak to us. We were thinking even this morning of how that you spoke to Moses from the cloud there in the tabernacle. And we cry to thee, Lord, that thou wouldst come and that thou wouldst speak to us this evening. We pray, Lord, for each gathered here tonight. We think of those who listen even by means of the internet. We pray that as thy word goes forth, that it might be effectual even unto hearts. Remember those, Lord, who are not able to be with us tonight. We think of those who mourn. We think of our brother John and Ashley and the whole family circle. And we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst continue to keep your good hand upon them. We thank you for John even being home. And we pray that every day that he would feel stronger. Remember others tonight, Lord, and they're not well. We think of our sister, Mrs. Walker. We think of Ruth. And we think, Lord, of Mrs. Hylands and others that have gone through difficult times. And we pray that thou would be pleased to touch them and strengthen them, even in their bodies at this time. We cry to thee, O God, that thou wouldst be with us now, even as we come to read the scriptures. We pray, Lord, that we would hear thee speaking to us through them this very evening. So hear this, our prayer. Wait with us here tonight, for in the Savior's name we ask these things, and for his glory. Amen. We're turning in our Bibles this evening to the New Testament and to the book of Hebrews and to the chapter 11. The book of Hebrews and the chapter 11, of course, this is the great chapter of faith, and we're breaking into the chapter at the verse 17, and we have there the account of Abraham's faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Amen. We know that God will bless the reading of his own precious word to each of our hearts. At this stage of our service, I'm going to ask Mr. Todd to come and to make the announcements for the incoming week.
Well, good evening, everyone. You're most welcome along to God's house here tonight. And we trust that the Lord will bless us as we meet around his word and that we'll know his presence with us. Just like to welcome those online as well. You're very welcome as you join with us here. and trust that you'll be able to stay for the whole service. May the Lord bless you also as you listen into the word tonight. So here are the announcements for the incoming week. So first of all, today is our audiovisual Sunday, when your offerings for that work are received. There are AV envelopes on the table if you still need some, so please feel free to lift those on your way out tonight. Midweek meeting is on Tuesday night at 8 p.m. and will be held here in the main church auditorium. God willing, the Reverend Murray will be the speaker this Tuesday, and that message will also be online. This week is the Beeline Easter service, and the guest speaker is the Reverend Garth Wilson from our Sandown Free Presbyterian Church. The meeting will air on Facebook Live, Sermon Audio, and YouTube at 7 p.m. And Mrs. Irwin says that everyone is warmly invited to tune into the meeting on Wednesday night. She would also like to acknowledge a gift of £40 and a gift of £100, which were given towards the work of the Beeline, for which they are most grateful. Next week, the services will be at the normal times of 11:30 and 7 p.m. here in the church, each preceded by a time of prayer 45 minutes before each service, and the times of prayer are held in the minor hall. Reverend Murray, again, God willing, will be the speaker next Lord's Day, and both those services continue to be online. Next Lord's Day is also LTBS Sunday, and if you wish to make a contribution to LTBS, please put any offering in an envelope and just leave it on the collection plates as you leave. Also next Lord's Day, the Sunday school is still at 3 p.m. on Facebook. Bible class is at 4 p.m. on Facebook. And next Lord's Day will be the last Sunday school before the Easter holidays. Last Tuesday then, we had a deputation meeting, and the Reverend Curran came along on behalf of LTBS. The retiring offering at that meeting came to £531, and we'd like you to thank you for your contribution towards LTBS. The latest LTBS magazine, and indeed other magazines, are available on the hall table there. They're all free, so feel free to lift whatever magazine you wish to take as you're leaving the meeting. These are all the announcements. Thank you.
I'd like to thank our brother for making those announcements. We're turning in our Bibles this evening to the book of Hebrews and to the chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, and with our Bibles before us, let's just stand to our feet, change our position, and to ask the Lord to even prepare our hearts for the hearing of his word even this evening. Our gracious God, we thank you that we are gathered around thy word. We thank thee that it's a speaking word, and we pray that we might hear it speaking to our hearts this evening. Lord, to that end, take away every other voice that calls, that we might hear only thy voice. We pray, Lord, touch our hearts, that hearing thy voice, that we might not be hearers only, but that we might be able to be doers of truth even this night as well. To that end, I ask thee for help. Lord, bring to my memory what thou would have us to say. Give us clarity of thought and clarity of words. We pray, Lord, that everyone, no matter their age or their standing, might know thy truth and know their need of thee even this evening. Lord, to that end, I ask thee now for help. For Jesus' sake I pray. Amen. Amen. The book of Hebrews, the chapter 11, I want to draw your attention to the verses 24 through to 26. It deals there with Moses, and we're told, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. In Exodus chapter 2, we read there of the birth of Moses. While we are told that he was of the tribe of Levi, his parents' names are not mentioned there. It is only as you read on through the book of Exodus that we discover that they were called Amram and Jochebed. Being born, he is described as a goodly child. The word goodly simply means beautiful. Again, in the book of the Acts, Stephen tells us that he was exceedingly fair. And now the writer records here in the book of Hebrews that he was a proper child. Again, the word proper simply means beautiful. And as such, we see that he was unusually handsome, believing that God had some special purpose for him. His parents made a choice. They decided to hide him from the Egyptian soldiers, making an ark of bulrushes. They covering it with slime and pitch. They laid it in the shallow waters of the Nile. And while that choice had far reaching consequences, yet now in his 40th year, we find him making a choice for himself. He decided to leave the Egyptian court and to throw his lot in with the people of God. In other words, he chose Christ. And choosing Christ to be his Savior and Redeemer, he became a believer. And while choices in the past may have been made for you, there is a choice in the present which no one else can make for you. You must, like Moses, decide either to accept or to reject the Lord Jesus Christ. In Joshua's ministry coming to an end, he summons the people together. Lifting his voice, he said in Joshua 24, verse 15, "Choose you this day whom ye will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And while he was going to serve the Lord, he recognized that he could not make that choice for the rest of the people. They would have to make that choice for themselves. And the choice concerning the gospel is not only pressing, but it is personal. There is no escaping or there is no evading of it. Historians tell us that Irenaeus, who was one of the early church fathers, was placed on one occasion between an idol and a cross. And he was told to choose one or the other. If he chose the idol, they promised him the protection of the state. However, if he chose the cross, he would be taken out and he would immediately be put to death. In AD 2002, he chose the cross and he died like the Lord whom he chose. And you know, in the past, my many decisions may have been made for you, just as Moses' parents made decisions concerning his life. My parents have made choices and decisions concerning your life. They decided where you would live. They decided the school that you would go to. But here is a choice tonight that no parent can make for you, no loved one, no matter how dear they are to your heart, can make for you. You must decide yourself this evening what you'll do with the Lord Jesus Christ, whether like Moses you will follow him or whether you will reject him this evening. And so I want tonight for a short time to consider Moses' choice or to consider Moses' faith. I want you to notice firstly here faith's refusal. Moses most certainly was no fool. Stephen tells us in the Acts of the Apostles that he was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, putting his wisdom into action and considering the pluses and minuses of life in Egypt and life with the children of Israel. You notice here the pleasures he rejected, faith beginning to rise in his heart. We read in verse 25, "Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season." Being raised in the palace, there would have been pleasures beyond imagination. In fact, amongst the Egyptians, many gods was Kadesh, who was the goddess of ecstasy and of sexual pleasure, as well as wine and women. There would no doubt have been in the palace song. In fact, you notice there in those words that we read together, the word enjoy. However, while these things brought immense pleasure and laughter, yet realizing that they would only be for a season, Moses gladly gave them up. You see, the pleasures of sin not only come, but they go. They last only for a season. Indeed, Job, taking up that subject, he said in Job 20, verse 5, that the triumphing of the wicked is short, and the joy of the hypocrite but for a moment. In fact, James, in his epistle, going even farther, he tells us that the pleasures of sin are but my fattening us up for the slaughter. David looking out, and he saw Bathsheba washing herself in the rooftop, and seeing her, he no doubt thought to himself, I would love to meet her. And I have no doubt that his sin brought pleasure, but my friend, it was for but a season. Do we not then see the tears flowing down his cheeks as he carried the child of their illicit affair to the grave? You see, while the pleasures of sin may bring fun, they are fleeting. They last only for a season. They soon evaporate. Dr. Gordon of Boston wrote that famous hymn, My Jesus, I Love Thee. And in many hymn books today, one of the verses reads, My Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. However, that's not what Dr. Gordon wrote. He never wrote those words. What he actually wrote was, For thee all the pleasures of sin I resign. You see, he recognized that there was pleasure. There is pleasure in sin. It is a fool that denies that there is pleasure in sin. It brings pleasure. You only have to walk through the door of the nightclub and hear the laughter. You only have to look in the face of those who are dancing there to see the joy. But my friend, the problem with sin is not that there is not joy in sin, but the problem is that it is not lasting. Robert Burns, taking up his pen, he wrote, But pleasures are like poppies spread. You seize the flower, its bloom is shed. Or like the snow that falls in the river, a moment white, then melts forever. Yes, tonight there is pleasure. There is pleasure in sin. There is pleasure in wickedness. But my friend, it is not lasting. And tonight, if you're living for sin, if you're living for the pleasures of this world, you're living for that which will eventually evaporate. For that which will eventually disappear. And I say to you tonight, if that's what you're living for, don't sell your soul for momentary pleasure. The pleasures of sin, they're bought for a season. Not only the pleasures he rejected, but notice the possessions he rejected. Living in the corridors of the palace, we read in verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. I'm sure you've heard someone talking about someone having so much money that they stack it on end. Well, that's the meaning of the word treasure here. It speaks to us of a vast treasure. In fact, the banks of the Nile were known as the granary of the world. It supplied the whole Mediterranean area with corn. And across this land, the land of Egypt, there were vast, vast treasure cities. Tradition tells us that the princess who adopted Moses, being childless, he was heir to everything. However, realizing that while Egypt could bring great riches, yet he would lose even greater riches in Christ, he gave them up. You see, what is important in life is not earthly riches, but eternal riches, that which moth and rust cannot corrupt. Indeed, the Lord Jesus Christ speaking, he said in Mark chapter 8, verse 36, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" By the word world there, he was referring not only to the honors and the pleasures of this world, but also to its riches. In other words, he was reminding them here that their souls were more precious than all the treasures and all the pleasures of this old world. You see, while earthly treasures are promising, they are passing. They don't last. Someone once said, money talks, but you know what it says? It says goodbye. And my friend, maybe you're in this meeting tonight and you're living for this world. You say, "Preacher, I'd love to get saved. I'd love to know that my sins are forgiven. I'd love to know that I'm in the way to heaven. But I would have to give up so much. I would have to give up my crooked lifestyle. It would cost me financially." My friend, better to live as a beggar like Lazarus and go to heaven than to fare sumptuous like the rich man and go to hell. Moses, lifting his eyes, recognizing there were greater riches, greater treasures in Christ, he gladly gave up all the treasures, all the gold, all the pleasures, all the sins of the land of Egypt. And I tell you tonight, if you're rejecting Christ for possessions, you're making a bad deal. You're making a bad bargain. Not only the possessions he rejected, but we notice the position he rejected. Reaching his 40th year, we read in verse 24, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter." As the son of Pharaoh's daughter, he stood to inherit the Egyptian throne and the entire empire. It would have brought power. It would have brought my prestige. It would have brought position. However, realizing while he may be great in the eyes of man, he would be nothing in the eyes of God, he gladly gave it all up. You see, what is important in life is not your standing in the eyes of society, but your standing in the eyes of the Savior. It is how he sees you tonight that matters. Indeed, many looking upon John the Baptist, they would have looked upon him as a lowly person. However, my the Lord said in Luke chapter 1, verse 15, "For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb." And you notice here that he was great. Great not in the eyes of kings, but he was great in the eyes of God. What made him great? I think number one, he was obedient. Number two, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Number three, he turned many hearts unto the Lord. What makes men great is not crowns, but conversion. Without this greatness, your soul will be lost. Baron von Wels renounced his titles, his estates, his revenues. He went to be a missionary in British Guiana. And today his body fills a lonely grave there. And you know, as he renounced his titles, he said, "What is it to me to bear the title well born, when I am born again to Christ? What is it to be called your grace when I have need of God's grace? All these vanities I will away with, and all else I will lay at the feet of my dear Lord Jesus. And my friend, what would it profit you tonight if you were to rise to the heights of your profession? If you were to become the head of the company, or if you were to rise in social circles and yet lose your own soul? How many today, and my friend, they're living for that which is not remaining. They're living for that which doesn't satisfy. Moses had lived that way for 40 years. He had tasted all that Egypt could give. He was at the heights of power, but there was an emptiness in his heart, and he gladly gave them up. Oh, this world can never, never satisfy. Faith's refusal. But I want you also to notice, secondly, faith's response, knowing it was more important to be the son of God than the grandson of Pharaoh. More important to be right with the King of Kings and with the King of Egypt. Moses now began to pray. Notice here, the people he spurned, taking action to save his soul. We read in verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Pharaoh's daughter had been exceedingly kind and good to him. Discovering him there in the shallow waters of the Nile, she had spared his life. Adopting him, she had brought him into the courts of the palace. Rearing him as her own son, she had educated him in all the wisdom of Egypt. And to turn his back now upon her would have seemed to some as an act of base ingratitude. However, realizing not to do so would rob him of the riches of Christ, he turned away. And he let nothing, not even the closest tie, the closest relationship, stop him getting right with God. And I say to you tonight, like Moses, let nothing stop you getting right with God, neither riches nor any relationship. It was said of King Josiah in 2 Kings 22, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the ways of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand nor to the left. He let nothing, he let no one hinder him doing that which was right. Did the Lord Jesus Christ not say, better for a man to enter into the kingdom of heaven, my maimed, than to go to hell whole? A right relationship with God is more important than a right relationship with any other. Let nothing tonight, let no one hinder you coming to Christ. When you grab hold of the little lizard, that moment, the lizard realizing its life and is in peril, what does it do? It lets the tail go, and it goes on without the tail. It would have been better for the rich man to have lost his fortune than to have lost his soul. It would have been better for Felix to have lost Drusilla than to go to a lost, Christless eternity. And I wonder tonight, my friend, what is it that's hindering you? What is it tonight that's stopping you coming to Christ? Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe, like Moses, as a family member, and they've been good to you. They have been kind to you. They have supported you. They have helped you. And you know in your heart of hearts that they don't want you getting saved. My friend, better to lose that relationship than to lose your soul. Moses might give up Egypt. He gave up the woman who had cared for him rather than lose his own soul. Let nothing hinder you coming to Christ. Not only the people he spurned, but surely we notice the pollution he spurned. Look at verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. The reference here is to the children of Israel. In order to be numbered with them, he had to give up his sinful pleasures. There needed to be a leaving behind of the wine and of the wickedness of the land of Egypt. And more than that, he had to leave Pharaoh's court and all that it entailed. You see, before there can be a receiving of the kingdom of heaven, there must be a rejecting of the kingdom of Satan, a despising and a willingness to depart from your sin. Did the Lord Jesus Christ not say in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, no man can serve two masters? For either he will love hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. And he reminded them in the simplest of terms that they could not serve God and at the same time serve their sin. There needed to be that giving up of their sin. The Lord cannot be your Savior while you're bowing before your sin. There must be a forsaking it. The Romans erected a statue of Christ and they put it up in their pantheon saying that he should be one amongst many gods. However, my God never accepted their worship. Christ will not share your heart. Christ will not share your life with your sin. And as Moses had to turn his back upon the pleasures and sins of Egypt, if you're going to be saved, there must be a turning. A turning from your sin. Oh, my friend, tonight, are you willing to do that? Are you willing tonight to say goodbye to those sins that have brought nothing but pain to your heart? Not only the pollution he spurned, there was the praise he spurned. Look at verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He knew that following the Lord would lead to affliction. In fact, in the following verse, he talks there about reproach. The word refers to violent abuse. And preferring the praise of God to the praise of man, he chose Christ. You see, the Christian life not only brings pardon and brings peace, but it brings persecution. Paul said, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Notice the little word all. All that live godly. My, the storms of persecution in one form or another will come. And yes, if you get saved tonight, if you trust Christ tonight, the world will sneer at you. That person you thought was a friend may laugh at behind your back. But is it not better to bear the wrath of man than the wrath of a holy God? Moses, seeing Christ, he gave up the pollution. He gave up the pleasures. He gave up the praise of Egypt. And I wonder tonight, are you willing to do that? Are you willing to turn your back upon those things that have been but a shadow in your life and choose Christ? Faith's refusal, faith's response. Lastly, I want you to notice faith's reward. While he lost his crown and he lost his companions, he did not lose out. But I want you to notice the friends he gained. Look at verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Leaving the royal court, Moses was not left friendless, but he joined the people of God. I have to tell you, if you read through the book of Exodus, you'll discover that sometimes they weren't a very nice people. My, they were a grumpy people. They were an awkward people. They often, my, spurned each other. But I tell you, they were better than the Egyptians. They were better than the Egyptians. And Moses making the choice, he wasn't left friendless. He had the people of God. And forgiving his people, the Lord does not leave his people friendless. He gives them new friends. Indeed, 3,000 souls being converted in the day of Pentecost. We read in Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. There was fellowship. There was companionship. And while repentance demands at times the leaving of old friends, it brings new friends. They'll not be perfect, but they'll be better. Better than those old, my friends. And my, he will not leave you friendless. He'll give you companions. Many tonight could stand and bear testimony to that fact. Not only the friends he gained, there was a fortune he gained. Verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ, bringing greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. And we find that Moses stepping out, his actions, they didn't bring poverty. They brought a great reward. And you see, the service of Christ is never, never profitless, but profitable. It brings a great eternal reward, a reward that neither moth nor rust can corrupt. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:17, "For our light affliction worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." No wonder the hymn writer, taking up the pen, wrote, "It pays to serve Jesus. It pays every day. It pays every step of the way." Someone look at Moses, there in the palace, with his guards, with his gold, and they would say, "Moses, you're a fool. Giving up all of that. He who gives up that which will not remain, for that which cannot be taken away, is not a fool." Is not a fool. And I tell you tonight, if only you come and you walk with God, my, the reward will be greater. It will be greater. Not only the fortune he gained, but there was a future he gained. Verse 27. "For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover." Then we read, "By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land." Faith rising his heart, he was enabled to see things that he had never seen before. More than that, he was enabled to worship God. He was able to overcome all types of seeming impossibilities. You see, saving faith is also strengthening faith. It'll enable you to worship, and it'll enable you to win through. Maybe you say, "Preacher, tonight I'd love to get saved, but there'd be too many problems." You're probably right. There will be problems. Moses faced problems. Read through the book of the Acts, or Exodus, and you find problem after problem after problem. But through faith, he overcame. Through faith, the waters of the Red Sea were thrown open. Through faith, he overcame. And yes, if you come to Christ, yes, there'll be difficulties, there'll be problems. But my friend, through faith, you can overcome. Moses made a choice. Growing up, his parents had made many choices. But Moses now made a choice for Christ, a choice for heaven, a choice that changed his life. And my friend, many choices have been made in your life, but here's a choice that you must make. You must make it not tonight. The hymn writer said, I have made my choice forever, twixt this world and God's dear Son. Naught can change my mind, no never. He my heart has fully won. Take this world and all its pleasure. Take it once and all. Give me Christ, my precious Savior. He is sweeter than them all. And I wonder tonight, what will your choice be? Will you choose Christ or corruption? Will you choose heaven or hell? Moses made a choice. A choice for heaven. By faith. And I wonder tonight, will you look away? Will you choose for heaven? Choose for heaven. Will you trust Christ as your Savior? And then begin to walk and begin to serve Him. I trust and pray that you will so do even this evening. We're going to close our service tonight by singing the words of the hymn 233. Once again, the gospel message from the Savior you have heard. Will you heed the invitation? Will you turn and seek the Lord? We're keeping our seats while we sing. Our gracious God, we recognize that as we come to the end of this meeting, that Thou dost wait for individuals' decision. And we pray, Lord, that they would tarry not waste another moment of time. We but that this night that they might close in with the offer of salvation and know the forgiveness of sins and be useful even for Thee. So, Lord, hear this, our prayer. Part us now with Thy blessing. Help us, Lord, to walk not by sight, but to walk by faith. For we ask these things in Thy name and for Thy glory.